Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. We have two important topics we want to discuss on the program this week. One involves Amiram Ben Uliel, who is a Jewish hero who has been falsely charged with killing three Arab Muslims in retaliation for Arab Muslim Nazi terrorist attacks upon innocent Jews. And major problems now with the Shabak case. Real proof that their case is all a fabrication, is all a frame-up. We're going to discuss that. We're also going to discuss the huge developments in the race for president. Ted Cruz miraculously winning the Iowa caucuses, the New Hampshire primary this Tuesday, the issue of Ben Carson and everything that came up with Ben Carson, and all the other issues that have come up. Things are moving so quickly, we want to be able to review it with our great JTFers, and most importantly, how JTF is playing a pretty decent-sized role in all of this. We're going to show you a video that we did on Marco Rubio on the eve of the Iowa caucuses that was seen by thousands of voters in Iowa, and that has over 76,000 views just on YouTube. We're going to show you this video that many of you have already seen, but we're going to show you the video. It has over 76,000 views now on YouTube and many more on Facebook and other sites. But you'll see the role JTF has been playing. So those are the two big topics. Let's start off with Amiram Ben Uliel, who is a young Jewish hero, and the Shabak, which is the Israeli equivalent to the KGB, arrested and charged Amiram Ben Uliel, along with a Jewish minor whose name they're not disclosing, charged these two Jewish heroes with allegedly killing three Arab Muslims. Three Arab Muslims died in an arson attack that they claim was arson. We don't even know if it really was arson, but they claim arson, that there was an arson attack and that three Arab Muslims died. And the Shabak claims that Amiram Ben Uliel committed this act in order to avenge the mass murder of Jews that is taking place in Israel now, because the Arab Muslim Nazis every day are either stabbing or running over or machine gunning or committing some other horrific act of murder through some other means against Jews all over Israel. Every day this is taking place. Either they're committing the acts of murder successfully, or because of God's great mercy, they're attempting to, and they're being stopped before they're able to commit the acts of murder. But every day we have these incidents, and this is happening all over Israel. So, in response to the many Jews who've been murdered, they claim, the Shabak claims, that Amiram Ben Uliel decided to take out some Arab Muslims in retaliation. But there's a major problem. First of all, Amiram Ben Uliel is innocent. So what they did is they tortured him to get a confession out of him. And they got a confession out of him after relentlessly torturing him, not letting him sleep for nights, physically torturing him, beating him and attacking him, attacking everything from his genitalia, just really brutal attacks, the types of attacks you'd expect to see in Iran, or you'd expect to see in a Nazi concentration camp or a Soviet concentration camp, those types of torture carried out in the so-called democracy of Israel, things they would never do to Muslim Nazi terrorists who butcher little Jewish babies who want to exterminate the Jewish people. They would never do this to the Muslim terrorists, but they do this to this Jewish hero, Amiram Ben Uliel, whose only real crime is that he has an opinion that's different from that of the Israeli government, and he believes that we should not give up Jewish land, and we should not surrender, and we should not allow the millions of Arabs who hate the Jewish people to remain in the land of Israel. Because of that opinion, because of his opinion, which is shared by many Israelis, but because of that opinion, they've decided to scapegoat him and try to frame him. And so they tortured him and got a confession out of him. Here's the problem. The confession they got and the indictment that has been issued against him says that he acted alone. That he acted alone and that he did all of this on foot. In other words, while he was on foot, no car was involved, no vehicle was involved. Just on foot, he brought whatever he had to bring in order to carry out the arson, and by himself, on foot, he attacked the place where these three Arab Muslims were, and carried out the arson. That's what they're claiming. This week it was revealed. First of all, it was confirmed by their own documents, by Shabak's own documents, and by Shabak's own, by their own evidence, which they themselves are presenting to the court, that they have in fact tortured him. That has now been proven. You know, at first they denied they were torturing for a long time. They said, oh, this is all a lie, this is all propaganda, right-wing propaganda. They denied they were torturing him, but now this has been clearly confirmed, and you'll see here a video that we've done, which is from television, from the Israeli leftist television news, exposing the fact that yes, he was tortured, that in fact the documents show that he was in fact put under tremendous physical duress to force him to make this confession. Furthermore, this report shows that the Shabak's own evidence and the evidence from the security camera there contradict what the Shabak is saying in the indictment. They say he acted alone and that he acted on foot. The Shabak, on the other hand, always said there were at least two people involved and there was at least one car involved here. Not only that, the security camera shows two different cars, coming up to the spot where the Arab Muslims were before the attack. Two different cars that don't belong in that area that came up there. And witnesses have also said there were at least two different cars, and at least two different people are seen exiting the cars and going to carry out the attack on the security camera. So the security camera and the documents and the original claims of the Shabak all contradict what they're now saying in the case that they brought against Amiram ben Uliel. So what does that mean? That means his confession was baloney, it was false, he just said anything just to stop the torture. They broke him down to the point where he was being tortured, and where he decided, okay, you want a confession? Okay, I'll say I did it if that's what you want. And he gave them the confession, but the confession and the indictment and what they're now charging him with is completely contradicted by the security cameras and completely contradicted by the Shabak's own evidence. What a farce this is. Can you imagine if this was happening in the United States? I mean, if the FBI tried to pull this in the United States, I'm telling you, all the FBI agents involved would themselves be arrested and charged. First of all, you're not allowed to physically torture. The FBI is not allowed to go in and physically torture prisoners or suspects. And secondly, the rush to charge somebody, even though the evidence is all against what they're claiming here, this is something which is criminal, which is just pure criminal. They're framing somebody. They're misusing the system. They're misusing the criminal justice system to falsely charge somebody just because they don't like what his political views are. You can't get a system more corrupt, more evil, more disgusting than that. But that's what you have in Israel. And they're still going ahead with the charges, even though this came out. And even you saw just now something that we put in a video from Israeli television. Even left-wing Israeli government-controlled television is saying that there are holes in this case, that this is very funny and suspicious. What are they talking about? What's the Shabak talking about here? Even the leftist media is now questioning whether this case is for real. Even the left-wing media. But that doesn't stop the Shabak from trying to push ahead with these phony, fake, frame-up charges, these trumped-up charges, which are all a lie. So this is what we're publicizing and we're pushing, and we try to help Jews that are in trouble in the land of Israel. He has an attorney already, Amiram. We're not helping him with his legal expenses because he's already covered. He has an attorney. But there are others who are in trouble and whom we have helped and who we continue to help in the land of Israel. And if a Jew is in trouble, we'll do everything we can to help them, of course. And we are helping him as well in the sense that we're, of course, publicizing his case and spreading the word and showing people what a lie this is, what a frame-up it is, so that public opinion, at least, will be aware of what's going on. And many Israeli Jews believe that he's innocent. Many Israeli Jews believe that this is a frame-up and believe that this is that these people are being tortured and that this is not for real. Many Israeli Jews believe that right now. So we've just got to make more and more people aware of this and turn the public against the Shabak and against those who are abusing the system in a dictatorial, fascistic, anti-Semitic way in order to charge people falsely. Because there's nothing more vicious and evil than that type of behavior. So that's what we're doing, and that's the latest development in the case of Amiram ben Uliel, who is a Jewish hero, being charged with 3 counts of murder. He never did anything. He's a young guy, never did any of this. All he did is criticize the Israeli government because of their policies of allowing Jews to be slaughtered, and helping the murderers, and the Israeli government helps the murderers. They help them. They arm them. They train the PLO terrorists and the Fatah terrorists and arm them. And they give them free electricity, free water, free medicine, free education, free housing, everything for free, which they never give to Jews, of course, making it easy for them to stay and populate and become more and more of a threat to the Jewish people. This is the policy of the Israeli government, and he's against that policy. And because he's against that policy, they've decided to frame him. So we're doing everything we can to expose what's going on. Now, the other big news of the week. Of course, last time we spoke to you, it didn't look good for Ted Cruz in Iowa. At least 13 major polls were taken. At least 13 major different polls were taken that showed Donald Trump with a substantial lead over Ted Cruz. Trump was leading in every single poll. Every single poll across the board. 13 different polls. And so it was assumed Trump was going to win. And we were told if there's a big turnout that Trump will win because it's Trump that's attracting new people to the voting, to the caucuses in Iowa. In fact, the number of people voting increased. It was just breathtaking how much it increased. From 120,000 to over 186,000. More than 50% increase over the record. The prior record was 122,000. It went up to over 186,000. Nobody expected that type of turnout. Nobody. And the huge turnout, instead of benefiting Trump, which was the narrative that the media, that the left-wing Trump-loving media was promoting, instead of benefiting Trump, it benefited Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucuses. He won, and it was, you know, it was somewhat close. Cruz got 28%. Trump got 24%. Marco Rubio, whom the media was really promoting, they love Marco Rubio, he got 23%. He was only 1 point behind Trump and 5 points behind Cruz. So Rubio was gaining fast, and there was a danger that Rubio was going to actually overtake Trump and Cruz and win the Iowa caucuses and become the prohibitive favorite to win the nomination. That was a big danger that we were facing. So, what happened? First of all, everybody threw everything plus the kitchen sink against Trump, against Cruz. Everybody was attacking Cruz. Everybody. The governor of the state said, vote for anybody but Cruz. The governor of the state, who's a self-hating Jew, his mother was a Jew who converted, who left the Jewish faith and converted to another religion. By the way, Jewish converts are the worst self-hating, cutthroat traitors. No one should ever trust a Jew who leaves their religion and who's a convert. Those are the lowest fifth column scum you can meet. Loyal Jews who are loyal to the Torah and loyal to their faith, those Jews are the best people you could ever meet. But the evil, self-hating, assimilated, intermarried Jews that convert out of their faith, they're the lowest and the worst cutthroats you could ever meet. And the governor of Iowa, many people don't know this, the governor of Iowa, Branstad, his mother was a Jew who converted and intermarried. And so his mother was Jewish. That makes him halachically, according to halacha, according to Jewish law, he's Jewish. This animal said anybody but Cruz, and his son, the governor's son, was part of the ethanol lobby. Ethanol is something that you produce. It's a type of energy that you produce from corn. And a lot of people in Iowa, their economy is tied to corn, so they very much wanted ethanol. It was always said, if you go, you must support ethanol to have any chance in Iowa. In fact, John McCain skipped the Iowa caucuses because he was against the ethanol subsidy, and he said, I'll never have a chance of winning. I'm against the ethanol subsidy. Everyone in Iowa supports ethanol. Ted Cruz went against the government subsidy. Ted Cruz, to the very end, stayed true to his principles, And people in Iowa were booing him, and vans were following him around saying he's an enemy of ethanol, an enemy of Iowa's farmers. He said, no, I'm not an enemy. I'm against all subsidies, and it's not going to help you. In the end, the best thing for ethanol, the best thing for all of our energy is if we have a true free market. That's what Cruz was saying. But people in Iowa, for a long time, were conditioned to believe, no, the government must subsidize ethanol. That's the only way. Donald Trump said, not only do I support the ethanol subsidy, which conservatives are all against, conservatives are supposed to be against government subsidizing and picking winners and losers in the marketplace and interfering with the free market. Donald Trump said, not only do I support the ethanol subsidy, I will double it. I'm going to double your subsidy. I'm going to give you much more, make you much more dependent on government subsidies. So Trump was really pandering to the ethanol lobby. The ethanol lobby spent millions and millions of dollars on television commercials, radio ads, attacking Cruz, smearing Cruz, following him all around wherever he went, heckling him. It was unbelievable. I mean, people thought for sure he doesn't have a chance of winning, and the governor going against him, and the governor using his vast political infrastructure to help Cruz. I mean, to help Trump and to go against Cruz. It really looked hopeless. I mean, it really looked very rough, and Cruz wouldn't budge. He said, no, I'm against it, and that's it. I'm against the ethanol subsidy. It's a matter of principle. And he said, I'm not going to hurt you. The farmers, you're going to be in better shape if we have a true free market, because I'm going to eliminate all subsidies, and we'll have a true free market, and we'll open up the market, and then you'll be able to produce even more without being dependent on the government. That was his argument. But, you know, all people were doing interviews. The media was against him. Everybody was completely against him. Just constant attacks. Marco Rubio, by the way, also. And every other candidate came out in favor of the ethanol subsidy. All the other candidates. Every single one of them. Except for the great Ted Cruz, who wouldn't budge, who was really principled. And that took guts. That really took guts. And he went down in the polls because of that. He was going down in the polls, and it looked like he was sliding, and it looked like it was going to be all over. It looked like he wasn't even going to get into second place because Rubio was overtaking him in the polls. And he wouldn't budge. He stayed firm on his principles. Now, of course, on caucus day, it was a great miracle. He won. And we played a little bit of a role, believe it or not. We're going to show you now this ad, which we ran against Marco Rubio, because Marco Rubio, as you know, was gaining, and he almost overtook Trump. He got 23% of the vote, Rubio, in the end. Cruz got 28, so if he had just moved up just a little bit more, if he had moved up another few points at the expense of Cruz, he would have overtaken both of them, and Rubio would have won, and then Rubio would have been the big favorite to be the Republican nominee. So we had to stop Rubio. We put out this video on Rubio and amnesty. Here's a video that we showed on Rubio and amnesty. It has over 76,000 views, only on Facebook over 76,000 views. And remember, a total of 186,000 people voted in those caucuses. Thousands of people from Iowa saw this video. Thousands of people, because we honed in the search in the searches, the search words and search terms to Iowa, Iowa caucus, ethanol. We honed it in a way. We did what you're supposed to do on Facebook and on YouTube to make sure. And thousands of people from Iowa saw this. And here's the video they saw just as Marco Rubio seemed like he was going to overtake Ted Cruz. Here's what they saw about him on amnesty. Watch.
Yesterday, a bipartisan group of senators announced their principles for comprehensive immigration reform, which are very much in line with the principles I've proposed and campaigned on for the last few years.
The so-called Gang of Eight has wrapped up months of negotiations and will present a bill that includes a pathway to citizenship for many of the 11 million immigrants. The man at the center of bringing this group together, Republican Senator from Florida, Marco Rubio.
Let's bring these people out of the shadows. They'll undergo a background check.
He was a co-author of the bill. I mean, it was a Rubio bill. It was a Rubio-Schumer bill.
His fingerprints are all over that bill.
Did he resist the pathway to citizenship for the 11 million?
No, he understood it. He molded it. He made it.
3 years ago in a debate, you were clear on this. You said an earned pathway was amnesty. Yet you've changed your mind here. Why?
Do you support a path to citizenship for immigrants who are in the United States but are here illegally?
I do, but first we have to do two things.
Why isn't that amnesty? Because, in fact, you are giving legal status to people who have broken the law.
Actually, I've changed my mind. No, I'm kidding.
So that's what comprehensive immigration reform looks like. Smarter enforcement, A pathway to earn citizenship.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Do you want to save the United States of America? Do you want to help save Israel? Do you want to know the truth? Then join us at JewsForCruise.com. You don't have to be Jewish to join.
And of course, again, over 76,000, you go to YouTube, you'll see over 76,000 views. And many, and thousands of them are from Iowa, because of the way we did the search, because of the way we did the search terms and the keywords in the search engine, and even more on Facebook. So, you know, I don't know how many people were convinced by this video, but you see the responses overwhelmingly favorable. So, I mean, you could see that by the likes and by other aspects, the response is overwhelmingly favorable. And you see the Trump people were sort of panicking over this because we came out in favor of Cruz in the video. So you could see it was effective. I think it was effective. Now, the video existed, but we turned it into something that became something that a lot of people in Iowa saw. Very few people in Iowa were seeing this until we publicized it. So I think we helped to a certain degree. Do I claim that because of us, Cruz won? I'm not claiming that. I don't know. But I think we helped to a certain degree. I think we actually helped. I really do. And by the way, this is far from the most successful video we've done for Cruz. We have other videos for Cruz, as you know, that have gone over the 100,000 mark, that have gotten even more views than this. So this is just one out of a number of videos that we've done. Hundreds of thousands of people have seen our videos on YouTube, on Facebook. Hundreds of thousands of voters have seen this. So we're trying to do our part. We're trying to do our part because Ted Cruz is the best candidate for Israel, the best candidate for the Jewish people, the best candidate to stop a nuclear Iran, the best candidate on all the issues that are essential to the survival of America and Israel. And therefore, we're doing everything we can to help him. Now, we got a rough time ahead of us. New Hampshire is this Tuesday. New Hampshire is a liberal state. New Hampshire is the most secular state in America, according to the Gallup poll. The Gallup poll just did a study on all 50 states. They said New Hampshire is more secular, less religious, more secular than any other of the 50 states. So obviously a Bible-believing Christian like Ted Cruz is going to have a rough time in a place like that. So this is a place which is perfect for Donald Trump. It's secular. It's not religious. People don't really believe in God. You know, this is his type of crowd. And just bitter, angry people who are secular and don't believe in anything, and are low information voters and don't pay attention. That's the type of people he attracts. And in New Hampshire, you know, this is a state that's perfect for Trump. We'll see what happens on Tuesday, but you know, it looks almost certain that Trump is gonna win New Hampshire, probably win by a wide margin. Then, on February 20th, we've got South Carolina coming up. That is absolutely critical. South Carolina, we want to win in South Carolina. South Carolina is a very important state. We'll see what happens. We'll see if Trump gets a bump out of New Hampshire. We'll see what happens. We're still pushing, by the way. We're still pushing right up until Tuesday. We got to try to get Cruz as many voters as possible. As many voters as possible. We don't expect to win in New Hampshire, that's for sure. But we want to get him as much support as possible because we want him to be in a good position psychologically and momentum-wise for South Carolina. So I think this has been an interesting week, both in Israel and in our campaign on behalf of Ted Cruz. And I think you see what JTF, the organization that our veteran JTFers are part of, you see what your organization, your movement has been doing. I think you can be proud to be part of JTF. I think you can be proud to be part of a movement that stands behind people that have no one else to stand behind them in Israel and are being unjustly persecuted, and that stands for justice and righteousness and truth in the campaign for President of the United States. Ted Cruz, I don't know if he's going to get elected. The odds are overwhelmingly against him. He's got the media against him. He's got Hollywood. He's got the big money people against him. He's got the Republican establishment against him. The odds are overwhelmingly against it. But we still have to fight for what's right. We're going to do that. We're going to stand up for him because he has taken the right stands on the issues. And let's see. Let's see what happens. I know that this is an uphill fight, and I know that the odds are against us, but, you know, we're gonna keep fighting for what's right. We're going to keep fighting for what's right. Let's hope and pray, and we should pray. Let's pray that Hashem help us in what we're trying to do, both in Israel and in the campaign for president. And so there are four things I'm going to ask our great JTFers to do. Number one, please pray for our success. Pray for the success of what JTF is doing in Israel and on the presidential campaign trail in the United States. Please pray for our success. And of course, pray for good and righteous people, good and righteous Jews and good and righteous Gentiles in Israel and in America. Please pray for them. Please pray for us. Secondly, when you see our videos, whether they're in Hebrew or in English, please promote those videos. Like, favorite, share, whatever you can do, promote the videos. Comment, promote our videos. Third, become active on our main pages. Our main page in Hebrew is hayamin.org. Amud ha'ivri shelanu hu hayamin.org. That's our Hebrew. I just said very briefly in Hebrew that's our main page in Hebrew is hayamin.org. Please get involved. If you speak Hebrew, get involved with the Hebrew main page. If you don't speak Hebrew, then get involved with the English main page, jtf.org, with the great Shlomo who has been... That's another thing that I think has been helpful. We've been relentlessly pushing this campaign. If you go to the page, the best... I mean, we are really loyal to Ted Cruz, and we're really loyal to the dissidents in Israel. You see that on our page. You see the great articles every day. You see 6 or 7 or sometimes 8 new articles or videos every single day from the great Shlomo on our page. Become active on that page. Comment on the page. Become active. Check out the articles every single day. You'll learn something. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Check. Make that your news source right away. Every day, make that your news source. And publicize it among other people. That's number 3. Number 4, of course we need your financial support. We need your financial support because we have to help the people in Israel. We have to help the families of Jews that are in trouble in Israel. They have legal expenses. They have their family that doesn't have the husband and the father at home sometimes or in many cases. And, you know, in America, we're the only group that I know of that's helping. There are groups in Israel that are helping, but it's not enough. We've got to come in there and do whatever we can. Please help us with that. And of course, here in the United States, the more support we get, the more financial support we get, the more we can do. Don't forget, Shlomo is our... We only have one employee and we're doing all this. Shlomo is our employee, but we got to pay him his salary because he works for us full time, and we've got to pay him for working for us full time. And we also, of course, have to help the people in Israel, and we have our expenses of pushing what we're pushing. The type of things that we're doing on Facebook and elsewhere, there are expenses involved so it's very, very important. The more financial support that we get, the more money that we get, the more people will be reached with our message. The more we can help the Jewish dissidents in Israel and their families, and the more people can be reached in the United States in our campaign on behalf of Ted Cruz. The stronger we are financially, the better it is for our movement and for the things that we care about. So please help us. Checks, money orders, cash donations make a big difference. Make a big difference. God bless the great JTFers who are sending cash or checks or money orders to our post office box. God bless you. If for convenience sake you want to use your credit card instead through PayPal and make a donation online, that's also fine. There's no difference to us. You can just go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, on top in English, the only word in English on the page, donate on top. You click on the donate button on top, and you can conveniently make a donation to our organization through PayPal online with your credit card. Again, you go to the donate button on hayamin.org. Hayamin.org is the Hebrew main page, and you can donate online. We're doing a lot. We're doing a lot of things, and I hope we'll be able to do a lot more. I hope I'll be able to report to you a lot more. But this is stuff now this week. You can check it out and see it, and I think you're going to be proud. I think you're going to be proud that you're involved with us when you see the results. Now, Tuesday, we're not going to have those types of results, probably. We're not going to have those types of glorious results in New Hampshire, because New Hampshire is not our type of state. But we're going to keep fighting and try the best we can. Let's fight together as a team. Let's do everything we can, even though the odds are against us. We believe in God. We believe in truth and justice and righteousness. And even if we have to fight uphill, and even if there are times when we say things and take stands that are unpopular, we're going to do so because we believe that it's more important to be right than to be popular. Of course, we want to be popular. We want everybody to love us. We want to be very popular, but not at the expense of our principles. Not at the expense of our principles. If we have to take an unpopular stand because it's the truth, then we'll do so. If we have to go against the grain, then we'll do so if it's the truth. And that's the type of movement that I know that our great JTFers want to be involved with, a movement that doesn't put his finger in the wind and decide, well, what's most popular? We'll take a stand based on that. You know that we've been consistent in what we've stood for over the years based upon our beliefs and based upon our commitment to justice. And God bless the great JTFers that are helping us. With God's help, hopefully we'll make an even bigger difference in the days ahead. Until next week, for JTF, Shalom.